Book of Matthew, chapter number 12. This week I was very taken by what became message this morning on the man of Barnabas. What a tremendous, wonderful character we can see in him. And friendship. My goodness, how we need to be friends. Amen. How we need to have and show friendship unto others. Tonight I'd like for us to look at Matthew chapter number 12. I'm going to read verses 10 down through verse 15. And verse 15, we could go farther, but I want to stop right there tonight. Chapter number 12 and verse number 10. It says, "Behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." So, Lord, in prayer, Father, thank you this evening that we can have in our hands this precious Word of God. Now, our Father, I pray tonight that we not be so familiar with it that we lose our excitement. Lord, I pray tonight that we not be a people who are hearers only and not doers. Lord, I pray tonight that you would speak unto our hearts, work in us. Lord, I pray that you would take this voice and use it tonight to minister, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Please go ahead and be seated. I had this brought to my attention. It is called Warning Signs of a Hardening Heart. There are five warning signs that this particular author, do not know who it was, had written down concerning a heart that is becoming hard. One of those is disobeying, disobedience. Pharaoh, we find, willfully disobeyed, and it led to a hardened heart. Another is mentioned, having wealth and prosperity. Sometimes we take God's blessings for granted, and we get to the spot where we just feel like God owes it to us. And certainly that, I believe, has become a truth in modern America, where so often we, as Americans, believe that things are owed to us. Another sign of a hardening heart is rebellion, or in these words, being discontented. Sometimes because of problems, because of sufferings, because of even discomfort, it can create an attitude that we want to blame God, and sometimes we want to blame others for our situation. And so we have another warning sign. Another of those is rejecting a deserved rebuke. I mentioned this morning towards the end of the message that one of the most difficult things in our modern society is rebuke. For God's people and people in general do not wish to be told they are wrong and want to be constantly pampered and so forth. And oftentimes we reject what is God's gift to us and we make our hearts stiff. Read sometime Zechariah chapter 7 and you'll find some very interesting words concerning that. Another one of those signs of a hardening heart is a failure to respond to God. Listening to God with no intention of obeying. this will produce in us an inability to gain spiritually. I find this in this chapter. I find this to be very true amongst these whom were Pharisees. If you notice in verse number 10, it says in the last few words there in that verse that they might accuse Him. Why did they come to hear Jesus? What was the motive for their listening to Him? Well, we find it listed right there, that they might be able to find in His words some way to bring accusation against Him. And thus we find that as the Lord Jesus understood this, He took the man that they'd brought before Him, and He made some comments about how these men, if they had a sheep that was laid up, if they had one that was in a pit, why, they would certainly rescue it. And He is saying to them, this man, though it be the Sabbath day, needs rescuing, and He heals this man. And what do we find? The Pharisees, it says in verse number 14, went out. They left. Isn't it just like us when somebody's rebuked us to just leave? Get up and walk out. Hang up on the phone, whatever it might be. I mean, we walk away from it as we fail to respond. And here we find this taking place with these Pharisees and the Lord Jesus Christ. What we hear is dependent, I believe, upon our motive for hearing. For instance, these men did not hear the truth of God. They heard what they believed was that which gave them cause to be able to hold counsel against Him. When indeed the Lord Jesus Christ was seeking, by the way, to simply tell them an Old Testament truth. And that is, though the day be the Sabbath, it was a day that good could be done on the Sabbath day. There were certain things that certainly could be accomplished in that day. They were looking for inaccuracies. They were looking for inconsistencies. And they missed the whole point because of their attitudes. They got together with others. And they got together for the purpose of pointing out His flaws. Verse 14, they went out. They held a council against Him that they might what? Destroy Him. Far too often, I believe that in the churches of God throughout our nation, throughout the world, that folks come to church and go home and have fried preacher. By the way, fried chicken might taste a little better. Might be a little more palatable than fried preacher. Most of us are kind of tough and not real chewable. But nonetheless, that took place. But what I want you to notice here, verse 15, this is very picturesque. But when Jesus knew it, what did He do? What did He do? He withdrew Himself. When Jesus knew it, He withdrew Himself from thence. So these who would not listen to Jesus, He withdrew Himself. These who had hardened themselves to Him now no longer have Him. On the other hand, we find that there are always those who are wanting to gain. They're wanting to learn. They're wanting to get something from the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 7, verse 17, it says this, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Basically, the Lord Jesus is saying there, if any man will do His will, in other words, he's got the willingness to follow what he has heard, God says there's going to be spiritual gain. In other words, we come to church, we hear the truth of God, and if all we do is come to church just to soothe our conscience, not to get something, that we might make some adjustments in our life and go out and seek to live those things, we have not gained. Matter of fact, we're sitting in the seat of the Pharisees if that is not our situation. Desire to put to practice and doing so allows us spiritual gain. Many want to understand. They have the desire for it, but they never follow through with it. And there is no growth. They will complain of not being fed. They will complain that, hey, listen, they're just not getting it. When in fact, they're not willing to practice what is preached and they can gain no further. Recently, I made some remarks, just to pull out of the hat some things. I made some remarks about having a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 17. And you remember those words there where we're talking about we need to abide in Christ. Amen? I mean, if we abide in Christ, we find that God says there will be fruitfulness. We're told to abide in Him and we will bring forth fruitfulness. And if we study that, we find is because when we're abiding in Christ, the love of God comes within us. If we are abiding in Him, His love is there. Amen? And when His love is there, what does it do? It is speaking to those round about us. And it brings us to the place of fruitfulness. But if we don't follow through with this abiding, we will not have fruitfulness. And so sometimes we come to church or we get in a situation, we even read our Bible sometimes, we read it, but we do not have the intent of really letting God speak to us and to show us truth and from that allow Him to make the adjustments in our life. Oh, how we need to be a people who learn to respond to God and respond to Him and what He has to say to us. If you would turn with me, Book of Acts, chapter 17. Book of Acts, chapter number 17. We find here a sermon that is preached by the Apostle Paul. And he preaches this, we could just basically say, on the street. Paul is in Athens. Matter of fact, we find in verse number 22 that he is standing in the midst of Mars Hill. And so Paul here, he is in this city. He is waiting for others to come, and he begins to walk about the city, and we find that he begins to dispute with the different ones. In other words, he's talking to them about the Lord Jesus. Notice verse 18. It says, "Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Other some, 'He seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods.'" Notice what it says about him. "Because he preached unto them" what? "He preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." That teaches me something. Among the heathen, amongst those who know not God, what do they need to hear? They need to hear about the Lord Jesus. They need to hear about the fact that He, what, died on the cross, was buried in a grave, and arose again on the third day. I find from 1 Corinthians 15, that is the definition of the gospel. And so we're to give the gospel to a world. He preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. We find then in verse 22, he begins to speak to them and preach a sermon. Verse number 23, it's interesting what he preaches in this sermon. He says in verse 23, "I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you.'" He says, "I want you to know about my God." Now notice what he says about his God in verse 24. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." You know, one of the first needs that folks must understand is who God is. If we're going to go to Him to seek salvation, we need to know who we're going to. Over and over and over. I mean, you can't read the Psalms. You can't read much through the Word of God. You do not find that God describes Himself over and over as the Creator. By the way, why is it that the theory of evolution is so promoted in the public sector? Why is it? Because the theory of evolution goes contrary to the fact of the Word of God. The theory, let's remember that, of evolution states that all things evolved. God said He made them. God declared in 6 days He made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. God made them. That is essential, by the way, to our belief system. I have talked to a number of missionaries in recent years one of the first things that they are now beginning to understand is if they're going to get some folks saved, they need to take time to show them who God is. They need to learn that. And so they begin, guess where? The book of Genesis. That they might know that He is the Creator. So to these people, the Apostle Paul is doing that. He is telling them, hey, He is the Creator. He goes on and he says He is not an object. He is a real person. He is a spirit. Verse number 29, and notice what it says. For as much then as ye are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. He wants them to understand that He's the Creator. That He is not something that we make with our hands and then worship. He speaks of, by the way, after all these things, in verse 30 and 31, of repentance and then also of judgment in verse number 31. Because He hath appointed a day, He says, in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. By the way, referring again to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice something, verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. And it says here, among the which was Dionysius, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So we find here that they got a response when it comes to the matter of the resurrection. I want us to look at this response tonight. I told those in prayer meeting tonight, those who teach the Word of God, I hope that this can be of some encouragement to you. Because when we teach, when we preach, we find that the response that Paul got at Mars Hill is very similar to the response that you will get whether you're in a Sunday school class or standing in the pulpit, and we find it here given to us in three segments. It said some mocked. Some will not receive something that is different than their perceptions. By the way, Christian, sometimes we sit in that seat. Sometimes we hear something that is different than what we have thought in the past, and we will not receive it, though it be shown to us from the Word of God. Some mocked. Rather than to stop and to think and to reason it out, they will dismiss it with ridicule. We find that some will do this. In the book of Acts chapter 5, verse 33, it says, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. Interesting. God brought Holy Ghost conviction, but it says they took counsel to slay them. They were not responding for God, but they were in the position of mocking God. In Acts 7, verse number 54, after hearing Stephen, the first martyr, just before he dies, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And so we find there are always some who will mock. There are some who will ridicule. Brethren, you go to the job and you witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk to your neighbors. You go down the street. Wherever it is, you're going to find some who will mock. By the way, as a result of that, many times we're fearful to give the gospel to those who won't. Write it down. There are some who are going to ridicule. There are some who are going to mock. And it's just a given thing. They did it to the Apostle Paul. But notice also here, we find that it says, others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Here's a spot that I fear that all too often the majority of people are at. They simply put it off. God speaks to the heart, and they put it off. God has touched them in some way or another, and they put it off. I want to tell you this. I have had more people tell me after a service the following day or the following week, I should have walked down the aisle. I should have listened to God. than I have seen walk the aisles of Open Door Baptist Church. I have heard that much more often than what I've seen walk down an aisle. Why? We put things off. And we do not respond to God as we ought to. John chapter number 8 and verse number 9, we read the story. In that story, we find that they have brought a woman who was taken in adultery. And as they bring her to Jesus' feet, the Lord basically, as He is dealing with them, ends up and says, "He that is without sin can cast the first stone." And what's interesting is the verse that follows. It says, "And they which heard it," it's a message of the Lord, "they which heard it, being convicted in their own conscience, fell down on their knees and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sin." You do not read that. You do not see that there. It says, "went out one by one, beginning from the eldest even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst." Or we find far too often, the crowd does not respond. Far too often, we just walk away. Far too often, God has spoken to our hearts, and we do not allow Him to take us to where we ought to be. We do not take it to the Lord in prayer. We do not ask God to forgive us. We do not ask God to work in our hearts. Too often, we even say, "I'll do it later," and we do not do so. One by one, it tells us they went out. But may I also remind you that in verse number 34, certain men clave unto Him and they believed. There were some who responded. Brethren, that's what we're looking for. That's what we're after. Some who will respond. Some who will listen to the Word of God. In the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47, Peter had preached. We get amazed at that first day as he preached and all the other disciples preached in a language and the people heard them in their language. And it says that they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. There were many who believed in that day and in the days to follow. They allowed God to speak to their heart. Turn to Matthew with me, chapter 26, book of Matthew, chapter number 26. I want you to notice with me verse number 19. Matthew 26. Verse number 19. Verse 19 says, "And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover." You understand the time frame. This is the last Passover. This is the Passion Week of the Lord Jesus. "Now when the even was come, He sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, He said, Verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray Me." He is giving here a warning. "And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto Him, Lord, is it I? And He answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with Me in the dish, the same shall betray Me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of Him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed Him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And He said unto him, "Thou hast said." In John, we read the story how He said, "He that dips the sop with Me is the guilty one." And of course, that took place with Judas. What I want you to notice here, as the Lord Jesus spoke to them, they asked the question, "Is it I? Is it I?" I began the message by stating, what kind of motive do we have in listening? What is our purpose as we come to the house of God? What is our purpose as we pick up a book? What is our purpose as we read the Word of God? What is our motive in it? Is it to allow God to speak under our heart? Or is it, as the Pharisees, for the purpose of criticism? And in their case, in the life of the preacher or in the life of others. Some believed. These 11 said, "Is it I? Is it I?" Why'd you come tonight? What was your purpose? Are we allowing God to speak to our heart? Are we allowing God to take, which, by the way, in comparison to the entire Word of God, is just a few small scriptures, and make the application in our lives that He wants to make? What's amazing to me is that when we come with that attitude, sometimes the intention from the pulpit is not God's intention in your life. And He speaks in even another manner. But it's amazing what God does. Sometimes God takes a song and works it in our lives. Sometimes God uses those round about us with some remark or some even gesture that is a blessing to our soul. What is our motive? Be very, very important for us. But also, brethren, let's understand that when we give forth the Word of God, not to be discouraged because not all are going to respond the way we want. It's just not going to happen. But brethren, we need to learn to be responsive ourselves to whatever it is that God is dealing with and is concerning. And really let God have His way. Father, tonight, work in our lives. Lord God, there is a need in each of us to respond to You. Lord, it may be inner, it may be outer. God, it needs to be. Lord, as we look at Your Word concerning how different ones, as they heard the messages and how they reacted, how we need to take cognizance of our own actions and how we hear. Lord, I believe tonight we'll be responsible for what we've heard with our ears, the warnings that we've been given. We saw a week or so ago how the watchman, as he sees the enemy approaching, is to give the warning. But the reaction of the people is not his, not his responsibility. It be theirs. And if they heed not the warning, then they're unprepared. Lord, I pray tonight that we be a people who are responsive to You. Oh Lord, as by one author, it is a sign of hardness. It certainly is not a meaning of pliableness in the hands of God. As sometimes we become stiff-necked. Lord Jesus, tonight, open our hearts to You. Oh God, may we be receptive of Your Spirit in our lives, of Your Word. May You thus be glorified by our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Minister the piano tonight as she plays. You'd stand where you're at. God's dealt with you about this or anything else today. It's a time to just allow Him to have that. Be responsive to Him.